guys, we are really excited to welcome you back to the fourth episode of The World of Heritage. My name is Stephanie and also here is Niloufar.
We are students of the World Heritage Studies program at the Brandenburg Technical University, and we started this podcast as our study project for this year, Queering the Narratives course, which is organized by our lecturer, Ms. Caitlin Williams. In each episode, we have a new guest from the BTU Heritage community, and we are so excited to introduce to you to our fourth guest, Kat Cunningham.
Thanks for having me.
A brief introduction about Kat. She was raised in California. As for her undergrad, she studied history at the John Cabot University and finished some very astonishing achievements. She is in her third semester of the joint master program, World Heritage Conservation and Site Management at BTU and Helwan University. She has a number of work experiences in her field as an instructor back in the US. In Italy, she worked for 2 years in the tourism sector and did several research projects. Her last research was about tandem language learning at the BTU language department. Unfortunately, due to the pandemic, she couldn't fly to Egypt. Therefore, she's taking a break right now to go studying at the Helwan University as soon as she's able to do so.
Kat is the first student from the Heritage Conservation and Site Management program that we are interviewing. Very exciting for us. We want to welcome you. Hi, Kat. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys doing?
Happy to have you here.
So let's start with the first part. So what was the main reason for you to study heritage conservation and site management at the BTU?
So I did my bachelor's degree in history, and in doing so, I fell in love with material culture and what we can actually see and hold that remains from history. And I was able to travel to all of these different heritage sites, archaeological sites, and museums during my time studying. And so that got the wheels turning in my head, and I decided that instead of pursuing an academic career in history, I wanted to go more the heritage preservation route. And so when looking for master's degrees, the joint master in heritage conservation and site management at BTU checked all the boxes for me because it was interdisciplinary. And I wanted to keep studying history and archaeology, but I also wanted to learn more practical skills in the fields of management and also tourism. And that's really what this program focuses on, is preparing students to enter the field of administration and management for cultural heritage sites.
We saw that you have some experience in archaeology. What makes the field of archaeology so interesting for you?
I love archaeology because it provides a tangible aspect to history. In all of the classes and growing up in school, I think history is a subject that everyone find it boring and you just read these books and articles. But if you combine it with archaeology, then that gives you the opportunity to kind of see everything you're learning about in person. And when I did my undergraduate degree, the school was really great in taking advantage of the location being in the middle of Rome, with all of the monuments, museums around, that we went a lot of excursions to all these places within the archaeology class. And that's really where I fell in love with it, because we got to go on a trip that took us into the Aqua Traiana aqueduct. And so to like walk into this aqueduct and see the chisel marks where people from ancient Rome had built it so long ago, that was amazing.
That sounds amazing. In September 2020, you were part of the European Heritage Volunteers. In what project did you participate? What were your main objectives? And would you recommend the European Heritage Volunteers?
Yeah, in September, I and actually a few others from the Heritage Conservation Management Program, we all, Dresnik, we worked on an archaeological site, which was a Roman settlement. And the objective of the project was to, it was in two parts. There was an archaeological excavation as part of it, and then there was a portion for mosaic conservation. So the project was 2 weeks long, and we divided ourselves into two groups. So that way, 1 week, one group did archaeological excavation, the other group did mosaic conservation, and then for the second week, we swapped. And so the archaeological excavation for me was amazing because I had previously excavated in the Roman Forum and found a bunch of different finds and really learned the layers of Roman stratigraphy and archaeology. And so it was super interesting for me to see all of those same characteristics and layers except all the way in Kosovo on the other side of the sea. And then with the mosaic conservation part, mosaics are actually what kind of led me to want to go into historic preservation, because I remember seeing these mosaics at Ostia Antica and they were just out exposed to the world. They had some weeds growing on them. They just don't look well taken care of. And just the artistry of mosaics to me is so interesting. And as someone who can't draw to save their life, I'd like to think that mosaics is something I could do, because it's kind of like a puzzle piece where you're putting all these pieces together to create an image. And so for conservation, that's something I always wanted to get my hands into, to learn how to do. And so this project in Kosovo made that dream a reality. And the project was amazing and really reinforced the idea that I love working on hands-on projects. And to answer the last part of your question, would I recommend European Heritage Volunteers? I definitely would. It's a great opportunity to network, to learn about the cultural heritage of other places in Europe, and you never know what opportunities it may lead you to. So for example, on the project, we worked really closely with the Kosovo Council for Cultural Heritage, and currently I'm working with them to try to nominate a site from Kosovo for the World Monuments Watch List, all because I had these 2 weeks where I went to Kosovo and worked with them on a project. So you never know where one little decision can take you in the future.
Sounds really exciting. So you had all these experiences and all the passion toward the heritage. Have you thought about the biggest wish as a future career that you want to follow? Do you want to work at the Heritage Center, or are you considering to also continue for your PhD?
I wouldn't completely rule out a PhD, but I think right after graduation, I'm really excited to get hands-on and practical experience. I really want to take what I've learned and apply it to a heritage site. I really want to work on either helping to preserve the site or even working with people and helping with tourism management. I want to do some hands-on work. Maybe in the future, if the work that I'm doing aligns with the possibility to do a PhD, I would pursue it. But I think I'm really ready to enter the workforce and find a heritage site, big or small, and just get really familiar with one site and put a lot of effort into making it the best that it can be.
Thanks, Kat, and thank you for listening to us. We are going to take a break and we will be back in a few seconds with the second part of today's talk.
Welcome back. We are going to talk a little bit more about Kat's experience living in Germany now.
Kat, when you first arrived in Cottbus, what were challenges you faced in your everyday life, considering this that you were living in Italy before and you have a good Italian language knowledge? How could you deal with living in Germany and talking German?
Yeah, the move was, that's actually where I had the most culture shock. I didn't really have that much culture shock moving from the United States to Italy, but I had a lot of culture shock when I came to Germany from Italy. And I think the biggest thing was, after being here for a few days, it really set in that, oh wow, I'm in this small town in East Germany where everyone speaks German and I don't speak it at all. And when I had been in Italy, it was super fun and exciting to start learning Italian, and it was something that I put a lot of effort to and I really loved. But at the same time, I also had the safety net of being in a major tourist city where people spoke English if you needed help with something. And that's not the case here. And I also had the realization of, wow, it took me 3 years to learn Italian. I'm not going to be able to learn German overnight, so I'm going to have to start this process all over again. But overall, it's been a good experience so far. One of the highlights of coming to Cottbus is that, at least compared to Rome, for example, the bureaucracy moves a lot faster. So even though there are a lot of challenges, there's also been a few upsides.
Yes, I totally agree. I mean, I haven't moved to Italy, but I lived in other countries as well, like in South America. And by that time, I did have some Spanish classes, but I would agree with you that this is like the everyday life is really difficult if you're moving to a new culture and have difficulties talking the language. So what do you like the most about living in Germany, though?
I absolutely love the active outdoor culture that permeates through everything here. I used to go hiking a lot in the United States, and I volunteered for search and rescue and spent a lot of time camping. And when I moved to Rome, I kind of lost that living in an urban center for 3 years. And so coming to Germany, and especially coming to Cottbus, where there's so many parks around, and having the semester ticket where you can take the train or the buses to literally anywhere in Brandenburg, go to the lakes, go to different hiking trails, it's been really amazing to like reconnect with that interest I used to have. And I love the fact that at no matter what time of day it is, you can see people riding around on bikes, going out on a walk with their friends or family. And also since coming here, I've gotten into rock climbing. Germans really like rock climbing, and it's something that I was interested in back in the US. But since coming here, I've been able to explore that interest more. And before the new restrictions set in, actually a new bouldering hall opened in Cottbus. So I was able to go there once, and then everything shut down from the pandemic. But I'm really excited to try and go there again.
I totally can relate to rock climbing trend in Germany. Everyone is so professional in it. What about your favorite places in Cottbus that you would recommend to new students coming to Cottbus?
I think my number one would definitely be the Altmarkt. It's just the main city square, so you can always run into friends there. It's super cute with the architecture. There's a few great coffee shops there as well. So in the summer, it's a great place to sit out in the sun with the tables from all the restaurants out there. And then at Christmas time, that's where the Christmas market takes place, and it's beautiful. But I also really love the Spree, and that's where, on the trails over there, that's where I go running. And so it's beautiful, especially in every season. It's full of leaves in the summer. In the fall, it's full of bright red, orange, yellow colors. And then in the winter, there's this foggy gray mist that kind of sits on the water that makes it look even more blue. And there's ducks there every time of the season. So it's beautiful.
So Kat, you're one of six members of the Stuko team for this study year. Can you explain us a little bit more about your job and your role of the group, and what helps Stuko offer to the students in particular? And what does Stuko mean?
So Stuko is short for Student Council, and the Student Council is specifically for students of the Heritage Studies program, whether you're World Heritage Studies, Heritage Conservation and Site Management, or even if you're doing a PhD within the World Heritage Studies program. The Student Council represents all of the students, and as a group, we're here to act as a liaison between the students and the administration, whether it's the administration of the program, or we can also reach out to the administration of the university. So we're really the first point of contact for students. We really try to be here to answer all of their questions, whether it's questions about arriving to Cottbus, how to register at their residence, how to get their residence permit at the Ausländerbehörde, how to register for classes at the school. We're really here for everything and anything. And that extends beyond the beginning of the semester, because during the semesters, we try to hold events and activities for students. This year, it's been a little different with everything being online. So in a normal semester, Stuko would throw holiday parties, or one of the big traditions is at the beginning of the new academic year, we would set up third semester students in the program with first semester students, and have like small heritage dinners of 3 or 4 students so people could meet each other. Everyone usually makes a dish from their home country, and you bring it together and share it in a potluck. But until we can do those again, we've been really trying to maximize our opportunities online. So this year we've held events such as a quiz night. There was also like a cultural heritage studying event. And one of my roles on Student Council right now is running the social media. So we have a Facebook and an Instagram at BTU Heritage Studies, where students can stay up to date on things that are going around in the city, I mean, it snowed a few days ago, so sometimes we'll just post pretty pictures of Cottbus, but we'll also share some useful information or just things that are happening around the heritage world to kind of keep people connected.
Great. Thank you so much for explaining about Stucco role and your community there. After a short break, we will be back for more questions in the third part. Stay tuned.
Again, now we want to ask more about the program. What do you like most about the Heritage Conservation and Site Management program, and how many nationalities are in your class right now?
So what really drew me to the Heritage Conservation and Site Management program was the fact that it's super interdisciplinary, and I can take courses in management, tourism, urban planning, archaeology, and all of that. So it gave me the opportunity to pursue my interests in archaeology while still gaining more knowledge that will be applicable to almost any sector in terms of management. And I was also incredibly drawn to how international the program is. That's one thing I valued a lot from my undergraduate experience, was studying at such an international university, that I really wanted to continue that. And I mean, each incoming class will be different. But for example, in my cohort, I study with two girls from Brazil, a guy from Turkey, another guy from Russia, a girl from Lebanon, a girl from South Korea, a few people from Bangladesh, a girl from India, and I'm from the United States. So really, we have pretty much every continent covered in my cohort.
How about the lectures in first semester before pandemic? Do you remember your favorite lectures that time? And in between online classes in second semester, what was your favorite lecture?
Yeah, so for the program, because it's a joint degree with a university in Egypt, for HCSM students in our first semester, we take 5 classes that are required, and we don't really get a choice of what classes to take, but it's really all balanced and scattered around different areas. So I took, for example, archaeology, architectural conservation, tourism, and introduction to heritage management. Also a research and writing class for doing more academic work. And each class was very valuable and laid a great foundation for the entire semester. From learning how to research and write for heritage to getting an idea of what heritage management is really about in the introduction class, to the basics of tourism management. But my favorite was architectural conservation, because I came to this program mostly wanting to learn about conservation. And I especially really want to work with more structures, cityscapes, think like archaeological sites like Pompeii, for example. That's what I want to work with. And so that class was really great at discussing the key points of conservation for buildings and what you can expect if you pursue that path in the future.
That sounds so great. So if a prospect student would ask you about the program, what would you tell him?
I would say if it aligns with your interests, definitely come and do it. I've met so many people from all over the world right now, and that's, like I said, I love the international aspect of my undergraduate degree, but at BTU, it's been even more so. So many more cultures and countries are represented here. It really adds to your studies of world heritage, because it is world heritage. And so if you come from a background where you haven't really been exposed to much outside of your home culture, for example, this is a great place to do so. And the interdisciplinary nature of the degree itself really allows you to explore what you're interested in. Because, like, yes, the first semester, you're not allowed to choose your classes. But in the second semester, you can choose from heritage legislation to conservation of ruins and archaeological sites, building archaeology, impact assessment. All of these different courses really allow you to kind of pick and choose what you want your focus to be. And then the same is true for the third semester in Egypt. There are courses in HR, museum design. You could even take a course on historic civilizations. So it's there's really something for everyone, and it gives you the opportunity to find your niche and pursue your passions.
In your first semester last winter before pandemic, did you also have excursions for your courses? And if you had, how many? And do you remember your favorite visit of the site?
Yeah, we did have excursions. For archaeology, we went to a few archaeological sites in Berlin. There's always construction work happening in Berlin. The city's always being built. And one of the great things about German laws is that if you're going to be building something, first you need to do an archaeological survey of the site to make sure that you're not going to be destroying something historic and important underground in the process. And so for each construction site that there is, this kind of survey happens. And the archaeological professor, she has a lot of connections. She's really great. And so she was able to take us to a site. We were able to see them excavating this older area of the city right next to the Rathaus. So that was really cool to see the walls. And in class, she'd talked about stratigraphy, and it presented a great opportunity for students to see that in real life. And then for architectural conservation, we were able to choose which site we wanted to go to. A lot of different options were presented. So there was the option to go to the Berlin Wall Memorial, but I went to the Military Museum in Dresden, which was amazing because the building itself is historic, and they added on this modern part of the structure that kind of makes it look like a piece of shrapnel is going into the building. But at the same time, that addition didn't affect the historical integrity of the building itself. So that was something we had discussed in class, and then I got to see it in person. And there was also then the added benefit of going into the museum and seeing all of the artifacts from World War I and World War II. And the museum is very interesting because they don't just lay it out in a chronological way. You can also go into it and explore the artifacts thematically, which is something that I'd never experienced before. So yeah, there's a lot of excursions no matter what courses you're taking, and they really supplement to the classes, and you get to see a few other areas in Germany that you might not have seen.
Do you know of places you would visit while being in Egypt, or do you have friends in the program that went to Egypt and experienced some excursions to sites where they did some conservation management practicing work?
Yeah, actually, I'm really lucky. And one of my roommates is actually part of the HCSM program, but he's the year before me. So he was actually able to go to Egypt. And then another girl, Shari, she's also on STUCO. She was also part of that same year that went to Egypt. And so I've been talking to them since they got back, and they've been giving me recommendations of different places to go in Cairo, which is where Helwan University is located, but also different places in Egypt. So I've been taking notes diligently. However, I think the place that I'm most excited to go see would be the Grand Egyptian Museum, because they've been building that for years, and it was slated to be opened in 2020. And I remember looking at that like, oh wow, it's going to be open. As soon as I get to Egypt, I'm gonna go. And then plans changed, but the opening of the museum also got pushed back until 2021. So there's still the chance that it'll be open when I get to go this year, because I'm determined to go this year. So that should be great. But really going to Egypt is just, it would be a dream come true for someone like me, who I got interested in history because of ancient Rome and ancient Egypt. And so to see the pyramids, or to see Luxor, the Valley of the Kings, all of those big ticket items are on my list. But I'm also excited to just kind of walk around the city and find the hidden gems that people don't know about, because they're so focused on these big tourist places that people don't really explore, you know, the smaller hidden gems of the city. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And then I know, very much like the courses here at BTU, the instructors at Helwan also incorporate excursions into the courses themselves. So my roommate and Shari have been talking about the excursions that they went on with their classes as part of their classes, and how that supplemented their learning. And so overall, it's an experience I'm very much looking forward to having.
Visiting the Great Egyptian Museum is also on my bucket list, so I'm really jealous. So we are already done with the third part now and want to ask you our last question for today. What heritage site or museum you find the most impressive and why?
The most impressive. Oh man, that's a tough one. I think I would say I'm gonna cheat a little bit and take the easy way out. But the entire ancient Roman, the entire historic center of Rome is inscribed on UNESCO as a heritage site. And after living there for 3 years, Rome has my heart. It's an amazing place. And the amount of cultural heritage you can find just within the little bit of the historic city center, which isn't even the entire city, it's just one little bit, is absolutely amazing. From the Forum to the Pantheon to the Mausoleum of Augustus, and then all the museums that hold all of these different artifacts from the Etruscans to the Greeks to the Romans, it's amazing. So that's for sure my favorite heritage site.
It sounds amazing. Thanks a lot, Kat, for answering our questions, sharing your story with us. It was super informative for us to learn about the Master of Heritage Conservation and Site Management, to learn about differences between two majors within World Heritage Studies. So we really enjoyed listening to your stories. We hope that the pandemic will be over soon, so that you would be able to go and do the excavation and a study in person in Egypt.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great talking to you guys. I had a great time.
Also to you guys for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed our interview with Kat as much as we did. If you want to see more about the podcast, you can also follow us on Instagram. The name of our Instagram page is The World of Heritage. We would also appreciate your feedback. For our next episode of the World of Heritage podcast, we will talk to Isaac. Isaac is a joint degree student studying World Heritage Studies in Australia and doing his online exchange semester at the B2U.
We are really looking forward to talking to him about the joint master degree and his life in Australia. Thanks again for listening. If you're interested in sharing your story on our podcast, just let us know by texting us. You can find our email in the description box. Have a nice day and bye.